Hello, welcome to Thoughts on Thoughts, a podcast where you, our listeners, can become part of a conversation with us. We are three therapists who are going to talk about the good, the hard, and all the in-betweens of life. Come join us.
Welcome to Thoughts on Thoughts. Hello, this is Jessica, and we have Taylor and KJ here. And we are today doing one of the things I think I mentioned in the journaling episode as a nice journal question, which is, what does your ideal day look like? This is a great question to check in with yourself and ask yourself to make sure that your life is like in alignment with what you want it to be, you know, so that you're not getting too far off course. Obviously, not all of us can live our ideal day every day, unfortunately. That would be really nice. But then I think our true ideal day would be like, I'm at the beach, you know, that would be mine anyway. So we're talking about within the realms of like normal life, what does your ideal day look like? And we are going to do a little bit of like a fun role play kind of a situation. We're going to have Taylor questioning, and I'm here also with Taylor, but Taylor's is more important, you know. We are going to be questioning KJ and guiding her to figure out what her ideal day looks like. So you might want to be asking these same questions that we're asking KJ, maybe jotting some things down, that kind of a thing, or maybe just outright stealing KJ's day because it's going to be so good. You never know. So people could just steal your life after this. Yeah. So, let's get to it and see what KJ wants for herself, you know?
Yeah. Okay. So we're sitting in session. KJ's already established in therapy. This is kind of the foundation that we're working with. We have a very, very connected therapeutic relationship already. So
of course you do. You're an amazing therapist, Taylor. So else would happen?
Stop. Don't stop. So, KJ, sorry, I'm going to get into the pocket.
You want me
here
to just.
Yeah. No. So KJ, what does your ideal day look like? Is that where you wanted to start, Taylor? You kind of cut out.
Please,
so I just
please. Yeah,
there,
go ahead. Know? Mm-hmm. I knew that was going to happen. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So I want to start with, oh no, I need to plug my computer in, you guys. My ideal day does not start with my computer dying. Okay.
Okay. That
well,
is
you
a
know
really
what? Sometimes
foundational block.
I was about to say, if you're in a virtual therapy session, sometimes it might. This might be exactly what happens in your session.
Yeah, it's true.
So I want to start with like, maybe start with feelings. Yeah. I'm so answering this question like a therapist. You guys are going to have to really work me over. But I think in my ideal day, I would be feeling content and nourished. And okay. I don't need to have my days be like discomfort free, but I don't want to be like racked with extreme anxiety or like I want to be able to ride the waves of the discomfort, I think. And okay. So like those feelings are kind of stemming from what I currently have going on in my life where I think I struggle to be content with the here and now. That's kind of always been an issue I have is I'm like looking towards the future a lot, or I will like get on social media and I'll see depictions of other people's lives. And then it will leave me with a feeling of like emptiness and like I'm not content in my own life. So that is something that I, in my ideal day, I'd want to feel very content and rooted in the here and now. And then I say nourished because I think I'm really, I don't focus too much on how I am doing physically, throughout the day, like feeding myself well. I'm very focused on like feeding my kids so that they are emotionally level as much as can be expected by two toddlers. But then I struggle with like not fueling myself. So I don't know if that's a place to start, is like my emotional state, my feelings I want to have in my day.
Yeah. So feeling like deeply rooted and then feeling nourished, right? And so you've said that you spend a lot of your time getting your kids nourished, but you kind of tend to neglect yourself. What does it look like when you're neglecting yourself? What do those symptoms look like?
When I get hangry, I guess is like a good way to say it. Like I notice that I don't know. I feel like rage is kind of a strong word, but it's like that 0 to 100. Like I get snappy if I'm not like drinking water and like eating and making sure that I'm kind of on top of that throughout the day. So yeah, that's how it can look if I'm not doing that stuff.
Yeah. Does that happen often?
I would say probably a couple of times a week. Like I really try to be aware of it, but some days more than others. Like if I'm just, it probably depends too on like my cycle and like where I'm at with that and moodiness and all of that that goes into it. So yeah.
Yeah. Ideal day is not on a cycle. I will say that. That seems
very true. Very true. Yeah. So I can go through like, do you want like kind of timeline of an ideal day?
Yeah. I think it's helpful to like go through that because it sounds like you've really identified the emotions that you want to feel on this ideal day. But what types of activities or events typically go along with those emotions?
Yeah. What's going to get you there? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So ideally, I would wake up refreshed from a good night's sleep. If I am going to get a workout in, it's going to happen in the morning. Like I'm not a person that can be like, oh, I'll work out tonight. Like I just won't do it. I will 1,000% talk myself out of it. So ideally I could get up and do like a 20 or 30 minute workout and shower and do that before my kids are awake, or my husband typically takes mornings because he's awesome and he will do that. He starts work at 8. So typically I just kind of got to be ready to be momming by 8 with my kids.
Okay. That's super nice that you have a little time for self-care in the morning like that, though.
Yeah. And I've been doing nights with my daughter her whole life until like just recently. So that would look like me being awake every 3 to 4 hours with her. So a lot of the time that has meant I will sleep till the last second that I can. So she's now starting to sleep some nights through the night, and my husband has taken over nights with her. And so now I get up when she gets up, which a lot of times is before 7. And so then I will kind of start my day with her. And so I can achieve some of those things. But like on an ideal day, I get some of that alone time before I'm with the kids.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And then ideally, I would have a pre-made breakfast. Like I would love to have like overnight oats ready to go or something that's not just my typical bagel and cream cheese, which really, if we're being honest, has been my breakfast for like 5 years now.
Oh, I remember in grad school too, my bagel, bagel and cream cheese.
So maybe a decade, but it doesn't fill me for very long. Like I think I would just like to make a better meal for myself and my kids. And then we'd get out of the house and go do something. So an activity of some sort by like 10 a.m. Get out, go to the library or the park or just play in our yard. And then come home, have lunch, do nap time, quiet time. And then I would get some time for myself and try to maybe do like a task that needs to be done that will like help some back of the mind stress, like a chore or something for my business. And then something that's like something I truly enjoy, like reading or watching a show while I eat lunch, you know, something like it would just be nice to have that much time to myself.
Yes, right. All the time.
It doesn't typically happen. Usually it's picking one or the other. Like you eat lunch and pair it with something you like to do, or you get a task done. And then in the afternoon, just hanging out, doing something fun again, being outside or playing a game or something. My husband gets off work at 4, so maybe doing like a family walk or hanging out, making a nourishing dinner that everyone is so excited to eat, and then having the house cleaned up and bedtime be smooth, and then I get some time with my husband at the end of the night watching a show we like or just connecting, chatting, talking about the day, or sometimes we just, you know, hang out by ourselves and have alone time if we need it. But it would be nice to have things. I mean, that's like a pretty standard day. I think to break up the monotony, it's nice to have things like on the calendar to look forward to. I don't have a social life in our new town we moved to this year.
But would you like to, ideally?
Ideally, I would like to have like some things on the social calendar. So, yeah, I think, I don't know, that off the cuff, that would be a fantastic day.
Very good. Yeah, yeah. So after kind of taking us through the ideal day, like, what emotions are you feeling right now thinking about the ideal day as opposed to your everyday life?
I think it's a feeling of, like, some confidence that I could actually make that happen. I think when I'm in the first year postpartum, that feels very out of reach.
Yes.
But now that I'm like,
that's like going to the moon at that point.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. 18 months.
Ideal is very different.
Things feel like they could fall into place a little bit more with that. So I guess some confidence, and then a little bit of overwhelm too. Like, I think I've wanted to kind of nail down meals and meal planning and like feeding my family in a healthy way, being consistent with that. I have wanted that for so long, and it has been really hard for me to find a system or a process that just works. I've found like bits and pieces, but nothing that I'm like, yeah, I am in a groove where I can pull this off consistently.
Do you feel like that's a realistic expectation to find the thing that's going to make all of that stress go away?
I think that's what I always want. I want to find like the one thing that's going to solve this problem and the one person to follow that has all of the answers on social media, or the one workout program that I'm going to stick with and do, or the one hobby that will like fill my cup. Like, I think I'm like, my time is so limited to do research or to figure things out that I just kind of default to what has worked bare minimum for forever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Quick fixes are appealing.
That makes it difficult. Yeah. Well, and it's all in how it's presented to you, right? Like, and I know this is probably another tangent, but it's like, once I found this, then this happened. Once I, you know, discovered this, then my life changed, right? And so then we get to the point where we're like, well, I just need to find it. I need to find it. And then we keep trying to find it, right? When really it's like, maybe you're on a journey of meal planning, of figuring out, of discovering things, you know, maybe this whole thing is you've already figured it out because you're just on the journey.
You're already there.
You're already there.
Yeah.
The limit does not exist.
You know, embrace.
Yeah, I mean, I just, like, as you're just saying that, I'm like, yeah, because if we compared and contrasted my ideal day with my current existence, the missing pieces are that morning time where I'm getting in, like, some movement and, like, showering. The meals, nourishing myself. A lot of the other things I've worked really hard at doing, like the outside time, the activities, structuring my day, using my alone time in the middle of the day to like get some things done. Like I am not 100% consistent with any of that, but enough, right? I'd say like I'm probably like 70-30.
Yeah.
But like with working out, showering daily, honestly, for being brutally honest, I don't think I showered today, actually. I didn't shower today. So working out, showering, and then like nourishing meals. I am probably at like, I don't even know, 10% of the time.
But what I'm hearing is that you're care for other people is very high on your list. Your care for yourself is not showing up in your actual day to day, but it would be in your ideal day, which is wonderful. So I would encourage you to bring a little more of like the actual KJ self-care time into your real life, you know, not just keep it in that ideal, you know?
And I wonder where that, like, I don't know if that's like a martyr thing. Like, I don't know what self-esteem wise I get from like putting my needs after everyone else, because I feel like my spouse is 100% like, take time to go do this. Like, he would totally support me in doing any of those things and taking time for myself to shower, to work out. He would for sure help me with all of that, but I don't. So I'm like, is it a lack of motivation? Is it a weird like core belief of like everyone before me? Well, I don't really know.
Like, think about the term devoted mother. It's like, what does that mean to you? Who's the devoted mother? What does she do?
Everyone's needs, emotional state, everything before her, showing complete unconditional love and care.
She's putting on everybody else's oxygen masks before her own oxygen mask, right? And that's
she'll get it on eventually. Don't you worry. Because you know
she will. You know, she makes everybody's plates and watches them eat before she even eats her own food. I think you hit it on the head, KJ. I think it's definitely a core belief, and I think it's nailed into a lot of us moms at this point, where it's like, you're not a good mom if you're not the devoted mother. The devoted mother does not practice self-care. She does not whine. She does not do any of these things. She just gets the job done, takes care of everybody, and sucks it up and shows no symptoms.
Or she does self-care, but it never infringes upon everyone and happens in this magical land that no one actually really,
like at 4 a.m. when no one could ever need her, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then she showers and
not actually a full face of
makeup afterwards. Yes.
Yeah. It's not a real thing.
I think it's new territory for moms now. It's like, how can I be visible? How can I take care of myself while also taking care of my children without sacrificing myself completely? It's like, I think it's the new horizon, honestly.
KJ, please be the guinea pig that takes us to this new horizon.
Yes, yes.
Well, like, as you say that, I'm like, I don't actually know. Okay, this is going to sound dramatic, but I don't actually know who I am right now if I'm not the devoted mother. Like, I don't know if there is another side to me. I don't know what I like.
That relates.
I don't know how I like, even as far as like, I don't know what clothes I like. I don't currently know what shows, books, like, I have tried a million different books lately, and I'm like, I don't even know what my taste in books is anymore. I'm just trying everything. Like, I don't know.
Hopefully it stumbles into my lap.
I mean, because I'm like, I'm different. Like, I know I'm a different version of myself than I was as a teenager in my 20s, but my 30s has been all consuming motherhood. So I don't know who 33-year-old KJ is. I have no idea what her likes and dislikes are. And so I'm like, if I shed a little bit of the devoted mother routine,
what's left?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's like everything's going to crumble because there's nothing there to be there.
It's like learning I feel like it's like living in another language. It's like we spend our whole life speaking a certain language, which is the language of the individual, right? And then all of a sudden we start speaking the language of motherhood, and that's the language that we think in, the language we dream in, the language that we speak. And then all of a sudden when you challenge yourself to speak all of a sudden in a completely different language back to the self, it's like you can't even find the words. So it's like taking it very slow, taking it one language lesson at a time, which you're already doing. You're like, I'm going to try to read these books. I'm going to try to see what hobbies I like. So I think it's in a quest of exploration as opposed to rediscovering the old self or finding her again, because I think she's gone in a good way. Like, she's dead. No, she's not dead.
No, I know.
You know, but it's like, we've like,
that you killed her.
Killed her. Yeah. No, it's like, we've like evolved into something and now we have to evolve again. Like, we learned the language of motherhood, you know, with lots of sacrifice and tumbles and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's like, we have to learn again.
Yeah.
Which is annoying because we're like pretty busy, you know?
Yeah. And like pretty old. So who has the time to rediscover who you are, you know? It's like, I thought that was locked in.
Yes, I thought I had
a lot of my 20s doing that.
It's so true.
But I have not thought about it this way, Taylor, of just like, it's like a new thing we have to discover. Not, I keep thinking about it, like KJ said, like maybe if I can just stumble upon it, you know, and it's buried underneath it, but maybe it's not buried underneath. Yeah. Maybe it's out in front of me and like I have to go find it, you know? So I guess the ideal day question would be, how are you going to find that new sense of self, you know? Like, what you add into your day that can bring you a little bit closer to who you are now.
Oh, I don't know. I think I probably just need to add some things in. I mean, like, I can do one thing at a time. I feel like I have the energy to like tackle like the first hour of my day and try to make that kind of more my ideal. Which would probably just be like, I need to add in more habits, like just build habits, which is hard. Like, I need to do like something 30 days or more consistently for it to be like a habit. When we're talking about like my social life and like building on that ideal day, I'm not too sure how to do that. I've thought about like starting a book club, but it would be like a multi-generational book club. Yeah. Like, I think I could get maybe one other woman in her 30s to be in it, and then everyone else I know or associate with is like older than that. And yeah. So I think just like, I think I might have to just lean into the discomfort of like,
yeah,
texting a group of women who mm-hmm. like,
yeah, who are not just like girls kind of a thing. Yes. You know what I mean? Like, yes. Like yeah. actual women, which would be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, would anybody want to do this with me? Like, cool. I don't know. I think that is one idea of like a way I would have a social outlet.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just live in kind of a, I guess for context, we moved to a town on the Oregon coast. The population's like 5,000 and it's definitely like a retirement hub. Like all of our neighbors are older and I just don't have kind of a group of women peers my age close to me. I've met a few people through my son's preschool, but it's kind of like a slow burn, like nothing's clicking as far as like meeting any of the moms and being like, let's hang, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a little bit of an interesting thing. I would definitely have to push myself to like, I don't know, do anything different.
I think what's also nice about doing something like forming a book club or something is it feels like a lot of pressure of like, I need to form this thing and have it be like successful, you know, but I think it's okay to also like form it, have everyone come. And if you find out like, oh, wow, this group that I invited was not a good fit, then you learn from that and you move on. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it would be really good to create a social outlet like that, but be flexible with how you create it and who you're inviting and what you're reading and all that, you know, because I do think that that combines the love of books with the love of socializing, which is really good. And I think like a multi-generational book club sounds really, really fun.
Yeah.
Very interesting. So it'd be worth it, but just like release yourself from any pressure. Their
coming of age book that they read at a coming of age time in their lives. See,
that would be so cool. And you could just work like embrace the
discrepancies in age and history and experience and stuff.
I've also heard of doing a book club where you don't assign a book. People just come and talk about the books they're reading. Yes. So you don't all have to have like a common interest. Yeah. You just kind of.
Yeah. And then you just kind of share. And then you're like, ooh, I want to read that one or I don't want to. Or you could just come and have snacks and everyone could read for half an hour and then just talk. You know?
Yep.
That kind of
But Cage could not listen to them. Snack while everybody's silent.
That's true. Actually, that would be, I think, painful for most people. Worse for Cage.
Right. I'm like, I can't do this.
You would like slowly, like, chew, like, tiny.
I'm so nervous.
Oh, yeah. I think that's
I think this is a good idea, though. You know, you can explore it a little more, create something with it.
Yeah.
It also brings you to like a follow-up question of like your ideal day, Cage, as you're talking about identity. If you wanted to like further explore identity, you would probably pose the question for yourself of who's the ideal KJ, you know, within the realms of like normal things, and then figuring out, oh, she's like dedicated, she's disciplined, and then build your hobbies, like hobby list to add in based off of those characteristics probably.
Oh, yeah.
That could just be another episode. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good question.
I know. This is, you're going to be thinking about this. And then when I follow up with you next time, I'd be like, do you know who I told KJ?
Did you do your
homework? Yeah, I figured it out. Yeah. Figured it out in a week and I'm done. And that's perfect.
Done.
And I've achieved it. I am her now.
I've reached self-actualization.
I am a new and improved KJ. I went on the journey and I found her.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think like when I describe my ideal day, I want to give myself credit because I feel like the devoted mother martyr in me is like, I don't know. I don't give myself enough credit for like the hard work that I've put into certain things.
Yeah, and so that you have you created a really good system for those
extremely
parts of your life.
Disciplined individual. Yes. It's very impressive.
Yeah, a lot of people would be talking about creating those things. So yeah, you already have that in place.
So many of them. Mm-hmm.
It's hard. Like, it's hard work, right? It's hard to like kind of rebuild. I think after having a child, changing your life, whatever that looks like for people, however that happened, like different life stages. But yeah, I think it's kind of like, okay, I've done certain things, but a lot of those things have been for other people, a little bit at the expense of myself.
Of course,
and so what's kind of the next level? And that's why I started by talking about feelings. Because at the end of the day, no matter what I do or what I change, like, I just want to feel content in my own life and not looking outward so much of like, what is everyone else doing? What does the ideal day look for other people? And I think it really needs to be like, what does my ideal day look for me that will make me the happiest, healthiest version of me right now?
And that's how we know that you're a therapist in this situation, because most people in this question would have definitely led with, I would wake up and I would do this. And then we would spend the whole time trying to figure out what emotions they were hoping to feel all day. And then at the end, it probably would have sounded like, oh, it sounds like I just want to feel, I want to feel grounded
and nourished.
And I want to nourish. We would have been like, bravo, you know? So
yes, exactly.
Emotional.
Yeah. You guys, this is why, like, I need to find a therapist who works with other therapists, because I can BS my way past anywhere.
We all can. We all can. Yeah.
I know. 100%.
I know all the answers. But no, I think the way that you guys framed that for me was real. I didn't expect it to go to a place of like, oh, I don't know myself anymore. Because I think that is like
gone. Are you serious? I'm right there with you.
The root of like a lot of things that like isn't super conscious to me always.
Yeah.
Of like a detachment from self. It's just you get into such a routine and it's Groundhog Day. And so.
Yeah. And you don't realize that you've been slowly losing sight of who you are, you know?
Yeah.
And it's good to bring that back to awareness. Like, that's what we're talking about. The point of looking at this ideal and trying to figure out what it is so that you can bring your life more in alignment and have more peace, satisfaction, contentment, blah, 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 you know? So it's good to realize what's holding you back and what might be getting in the way. It only is like good information. You know what I mean? Yeah. It can be hard information, but it's really good.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks, team. I'll
you did great.
Send me the bill, you know?
100% we will. Don't you worry. Taylor gets primary billing, I'll take secondary billing. Well, thank you guys for tuning in. If you guys want to share with us what your ideal life is, please do. Also, please give us a 5-star review so that we will continue to make these podcasts. It's very validating for us. And we love you all. Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us today. We want to create a community of inclusion where we can have conversations about topics that you need help with or have questions about. We want you to have a voice in this process, so please let us know what you want to hear about on future episodes. You can email us at thoughtspod@gmail.com. And if you search Thoughts Pod, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. All original music is composed by Milan Vrajic from Valley of the Bears, and our logos are by Rick Thomas. Thanks for joining us.